Hey guys, this is Ben Curtis, one of the pastors here at New Vision, and you're listening to a podcast entitled Finding Peace and Hope When I'm Anxious and Depressed. We spent several days talking about anxiety, and yesterday we took a look at the issue of depression, the experience of depression. I shared a personal story from my life, and we also kind of defined depression. But today, in the next couple of days, today I want to actually look at a case study in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19. And then the next couple of days, I want us to also look at a psalm, and we're also going to look at Job as well, as we kind of get our minds around what does the Bible say and how does it give us help and hope when we're depressed. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you've just wanted to run. Maybe when you were in a time of depression or you were struggling with anxiety. And today we're going to look at the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. To give you a little historical background, there have been a couple hundred years of kings in the land who've just constantly been leading the people away from God, and God just finally gets tired of it. So he raises up a man named Elijah, a prophet, and he sends Elijah to King Ahab. Ahab is married to Jezebel, and this couple is just, they're known for their evil. So God sends Elijah to Ahab, and he says, "Hey Ahab, it's not going to rain again until God tells me that it's going to rain." And so he's trying to get his attention, and he says, "I'll come back and I'll let you know." And sure enough, it doesn't rain. There's a drought in the land, a famine, and not long after this, Elijah, there's some miracles that take place. He sees the hand of God work in different situations, but Elijah has this mountaintop experience. You've probably read about it, where he defeats 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And Elijah has seen the miracles of God. He's been on the mountaintop with God. And then you know what happens? He gets depressed. Sometimes we can mistakenly think that being a follower is going to be this mountaintop experience for the rest of our lives. That's what it's like to follow Jesus. But that's not true. If you're at a time in your life right now where you're struggling, let me just tell you this. You're normal. And I hope this passage today is going to help you and give you some hope and encouragement. So 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm just going to begin by reading verses 1 through 5. It says, that now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Jezebel basically says to Elijah, "I'm going to kill you. I'm coming for you." And what is Elijah's response after all of this miraculous activity in his life, this mountaintop experience? The very next verse says this: Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, this is really important, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So he's afraid, and then he chooses to be alone. He's on the run. It says he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you could maybe identify with that, where you've just had enough? Like, "God, I'm ready to check out." Maybe you wanted to run and just escape it all. That's what we choose to do in those moments sometimes. And it's really what we do next when we're facing these issues that really matters. We are most vulnerable in moments like that when we're stressed out, when we're tired, when we're most susceptible to giving in to sin and missing out on God's plan for our lives. When you and I are tired, it makes us fearful. I remember this line from Vince Lombardi. He was the famous coach at Green Bay. He said, "Exhaustion makes cowards of us all." So sometimes we get depressed just because we're worn out. And it's also telling that Elijah says to his servant, "I want you to stay here," and Elijah goes off by himself. This is called isolation. And this is not God's will for us when we're struggling. It's the first thing we want to do, but it's not good for us. Sometimes it is good to be alone. The Bible tells us that we should have moments of solitude. So I'm going to quiet my life. I'm going to be alone with God so he can speak. But this is different. Isolation is different. And that's where a lot of us are. You may be at a place where you just want to shut everybody out and you just don't care anymore. So you can wear yourself out. You can shut people out. The other thing that we see Elijah doing, and this is a recipe for depression, he's focusing on the negative. You know, a person who wants to be unhappy will find many ways to be unhappy. If you want to feel overwhelmed, just focus on all the negative things in your life. And believe you me, there's plenty of negative all around us, right? Focus on all the things that you're concerned about and just let those things eat at you and consume you. Wear yourself out. Shut people out. Focus on the negative. And there's one more thing we see Elijah doing, and that is he forgets God. And this is exactly where he's at. I mean, he's exhausted. He's worn out. He doesn't even want to talk to his servant anymore, so he's isolated. He's focusing on everything negative, and as a result, he's forgotten about all the miraculous ways that God has provided, all the things that God has done in his life. And what does he say? He says, God, I'm done. I'm over it. I just want to die. But God is not finished with Elijah. He loves him. He cares for him just as he loves and he cares for you. And so chapter 19, verse 5 says this, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you and I can do is eat a hot meal and take a nap. Can I get an amen? If you're a single parent, go get yourself a babysitter or maybe ask for help from your small group. If you're married, tell your spouse, I just need some time. I just need a moment. I need some help. And get yourself some time where you can just have a good meal and enjoy some rest for a little bit. All of us need that. You know, God gave us this practice, and we tend to forget about it, but it's called Sabbath. God did not design us to go full speed every day of every week. Sabbath means that one day a week, there's going to be a 24-hour period in my week where I just have a day of rest. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we just sit on the couch and be a couch potato all day. There's things we can do, but it just means taking a break from the normal rhythm of our lives. There are different seasons. We know there are times in our life where life is busier, and there are other times where it maybe is a little slower. There's an ebb and flow to activity, but rest is important to us. Working hard is important as well. I mean, too much free time is not good for someone who's dealing with anxiety, but we need to find a rhythm in our lives of work and rest. So if you're worn out and exhausted, listen, God is not looking at you saying, where's your faith? He's saying, eat and rest. You need to make sure that you're getting enough sleep each night. You need to make sure that you're resting one day out of seven, and you need to have a week or 2 weeks, you know, out of the year where you can just unplug. That's part of God's will for us. Verse 7 says, then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Whenever you're experiencing the temptation of just wanting to give up, my guess is that there's usually going to be some pride and self-pity that's going on in the background. And let me just tell you, the reason I know that, I have a master's degree in pride and self-pity. I'm awesome at it. We begin to exaggerate and we begin to lie to ourselves. God calls us to not do that. He wants us to be able to spot those lies, those mistruths, and replace those lies with God's truth. And so we see this happening in Elijah's life. In verse 9, it says that he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's a really good question for us, isn't it? What are you doing here? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Now, is that true or false? Well, that's true. He has been. Is there a little bit of pride seeping through? Maybe. He goes on and he says, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and they've put your prophets to death with the sword. Is that true or false? It's absolutely true. But then notice this. Elijah says this, and I am the only one left. Not true. You keep reading, and do you know how many are left? Elijah says, it's just me, God. Why me, God? Well, listen, Elijah, there are 7,000 prophets left who have not bowed their knees to Baal, who have not given in to Jezebel and the false prophets. 7,000. So really, the antidote here in this case to Elijah's depression, he's tired, he's worn out. He needs to eat and rest. He's negative. He's believing things that are not true. He needs to think about what he's thinking about and replace the lies with truth. So what are the lies that you're believing right now? You know, I love this picture that God is painting for us. When Elijah's in the cave, he's in the dark, right? And when Elijah's in the cave, he can't see clearly. And that's sometimes why people describe depression as a stubborn darkness. It's just this darkness that won't seem to lift. And what God is going to tell Elijah to do is come out of the dark and into the light. Come out of the cave and into his presence. Verse 11, the Lord says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now, I want to encourage you with this. This is so cool. God has sent Elijah to Horeb. So he's in the right place. This is actually the mountain of God. This is the place where Moses got the Ten Commandments. God's presence is known for being here. And I love that Elijah came to this place. Elijah begins to get out of this cycle of pride and self-pity when he runs to the presence of God. Listen, God loves you and God cares for you so much. And it could be that you're tired. It could be that you're lonely. It could be that you're hungry. It could be that you've got all kinds of pressures in your life. But listen, when things are not good, we have to remind ourselves that God is not done. He's not finished with us. Run to Him. Force yourself. Spend time in His presence, even if it's just reading just a few verses instead of a whole chapter. Could it be that you think that you're running for your life? You want to give up because life is hard, and God is saying, no. You're not running for your life. You're running from the life that I have for you. Can I just pray for you today as we close? Father, thank you that you love us so much. And some of us are thinking that our life is over and that you're done with us, but help us to see you're not finished. You love us. You care for us. That's why you fixed Elijah a meal and made him rest. And God, that's why you took him to a dark place so he could see this picture of the way that he was thinking. And then you brought him into the light. Lord, I love this progression of what you're doing in his life. Father, in the darkest moments, help us to run to you. Help us to step into the light of who you are. And Spirit of God, we just ask for anyone struggling that you would just send your ministering angels to them, to help them, to minister to them, to encourage them, to provide for them in this season. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, coming out of today's podcast, I just want to remind you, we have some resources on anxiety and depression, as well as some trained biblical counselors who are ready to assist you. We're so blessed here at New Vision to have these things, these resources. And so if you'd like more information, you can visit newvisionlife.com/care.